Recall from the opening of the chapter Poisonous Pedagogy in Alice Miller's For Your Own Good. Alice was just describing her thought process leading to her decision to write this important book and the issue she considered most important to address. She left us thinking about the role of coercion in stunting the growth of the soul. Coercion, and this is a quote, produces a soul with soil too hard for anything to grow in, and the only hope at all of forcibly producing the love demanded of one as a child lies in the upbringing given one's own children, from whom one then demands love in the same merciless fashion. For this reason, it is my intention, and we are embarking on, we're continuing now our reading of Poisonous Pedagogy by Alice Miller from her book, For Your Own Good. For this reason, it is my intention to refrain from all moralizing. I definitely do not want to say someone ought or ought not to do this or that. For example, ought not to hate. For I consider maxims of this sort to be useless. Rather, I see it as my task to expose the roots of hatred, which only a few people seem to recognize, and to search for the explanation of why there are so few of these people. I was giving serious thought to these questions when I came upon Katharina Ruschke's Schwarze Pädagogik, Black Pedagogy, a collection of excerpts from books on child rearing published in Germany in 1977. These texts describe all the techniques which I refer to in this book as poisonous pedagogy that are used to condition a child at an early age not to become aware of what is really being done to him or her. They offer clear corroboration on a concrete level of the conjectural reconstructions I have arrived at in the long course of my analytic work. This gave me the idea of juxtaposing certain passages from this excellent but very lengthy work so that with their help, readers can answer for themselves and on their own personal terms the following questions I shall be raising. How were our parents brought up? How were they permitted, even forced, to treat us? How could we, as young children, have become aware of this? How could we have treated our own children differently? Can this vicious circle ever be broken? And finally, is our guilt any less if we shut our eyes to the situation? It may be that I'm trying to attain something with these texts that either is not possible at all or is completely superfluous. For as long as you are not allowed to see something, you have no choice but to overlook it, to misunderstand it, to protect yourself against it in one way or another. But if you've already perceived it for yourself, then you don't need me to tell you about it. This is a version of Socrates' dilemma we discussed in an earlier show. And behind this dilemma, we're going to be exploring, is this discussion. Our thought gets stuck in the question, what's true and what isn't? Because if nothing is what it seems, thought has nothing to which to cleave. Because we craft our souls from what we believe to be true, that being so, we are dependent on our fellows for the quality of our souls. As Nicholas said, everything that touches us influences us. Samuel Butler puts it like this. Quote, a man should not only have his own way as far as possible, but he should only consort with things that are getting their own way, so far that they are at any rate comfortable. And my comment, he's talking here about free beings, that one should be as free a being as possible and consort with as many free beings as possible. Free, that is, from any kind of compulsion, inner or outer. Continuing. Unless for short times, under exceptional circumstances, he should not even see things that have been stunted or starved, much less should he eat meat that has been vexed by having been overdriven or underfed or afflicted with any disease, nor should he touch vegetables that have not been well grown. For all these things cross a man. Whatever a man comes in contact with in any way forms a cross with him, which will leave him better or worse. And the better things he is crossed with, the more likely he is to live long and happily. All things must be crossed a little or they would cease to live. But holy things, such for example as Giovanni Bellini's saints, have been crossed with nothing but what is good of its kind. Unquote. Now, I disagree with his conclusion, as class stunts us all. And we can't heal this thing unless we all consort joyfully together. But this requires soul sufficiency as our goal and focus. But it's worth considering. I'm sure we'll return to it after giving it its due pondering.